warning, this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am the second string, Doug McBurney, sitting in as Bob leads a tour, a Bible tour of Italy. When in Rome, do Romans. And maybe stop by the Vatican. Perhaps the Pope will be able to secure an audience with Pastor Enyart. If there was ever a time that a fella needed to talk to another fella like Bob Enyart, it would be now with the Pope, with all the... Well, we don't have to get into all that, at least not in detail, because it's kind of disgusting to even think about. That kind of behavior would be allowed to fester and develop into a full-on metastasizing cancer inside one of the largest Christian organizations in the world. And, Bob could help. Bob could help the Pope. Well, actually, maybe even Bob can help the Pope at this point. And the, not just the Pope, but all the bishops that have been covering up and shuffling all the child molesters around. There's probably no helping them at this point. We have sent a message with Bob. We've sent an epistle to the Pope and the bishops asking the Pope to resign, to turn himself in, and to disband the Catholic Church. Those three simple things could help solve the problem. And Bob has that epistle in his bag as he's headed out to Italy. I believe he's already, well, I think he's in New York right now. He's in New York right now trying to get that place squared away before he heads over to Italy. And we'll see how all that goes. But I'm so happy to be sitting in and just hoping that I can live up to the expectations of the Bob Enyart Live audience. And should we talk about... So I'm kind of sick of hearing about Brett Kavanaugh and Christie Blasey Ford. I'm really tired of it, but it's sucked all the air out of the room everywhere. It's the only thing that anyone talks about. Did you people know that while we were all arguing and focusing on Christie Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh and how many beers they had in 1982, that the government passed an $830 billion funding bill, stealing money from our grandchildren to fund abortions today, stealing money from your grandchildren a generation or two from now in order to pay for abortions today. That's what they did. By the way, the Republicans, what branches of the government do the Republicans control? I forget. They have a majority in the House, if I'm not mistaken. They have a slim majority in the Senate, at least Republicans do. And then I believe the president, the sitting president, is a Republican, if I'm not mistaken. $835 billion stolen from you and me and our children and our grandchildren to fund abortion and family corrupting and destroying welfare programs today. All this while everybody argued about, well, let's just get to it. We'll go to Nancy Pelosi. It's a never-ending font of foolishness, stupidity, and evil is Nancy Pelosi. And the Brett Kavanaugh situation has Nancy Pelosi praying. She says she's praying. Nancy Pelosi is not one known for prayer. It's not what leaps to the front of one's mind when one thinks of Nancy Pelosi. Prayer is not the first thing. But she says she's praying for divine intervention to stop Brett Kavanaugh. Divine intervention. She doesn't need to pray for divine intervention to stop Brett Kavanaugh, does Nancy Pelosi, because who's the other one? I'm forgetting her name now. Dianne Feinstein already stopped him. Why do you need to pray for divine intervention? Have I made my prediction public yet that Brett Kavanaugh, there's no way he ever makes it on the Supreme Court. There's no way. There's just no way. The radical leftists are far too successful in just creating just enough chaos that Hey, and this is a lesson for all you young people, is don't go getting drunk and acting like a moron in high school and college, because you might end up losing the biggest opportunity of your career just because you got drunk and acted like a moron in college. So just don't do it. Although we have no evidence that Brett Kavanaugh ever got drunk or acted like a moron in high school or college, except that all of us who lived through that era knew that everyone got drunk and acted like a moron in high school and college. At least me and everyone I knew, we all did. And I wish I hadn't. This is yet another reason to keep or get your children out of not only the government schools, but apparently out of very high-end private schools in the Northeast. Or was it in California? Where did they go to school? Anyways, let's see. Back to Nancy Pelosi. She says, I'm hoping that Judge Kavanaugh will not be a justice on the Supreme Court. She said, let's just take it one day at a time. One day at a time? I think that's something that Christine Blasey Ford has on a coin in her pocket that she carries around, one day at a time. Am I implying that Christine Blasey Ford may have gotten drunk and acted like a moron in high school or college? That's exactly what I'm implying. Nancy goes on to say that she's ever hopeful for an intervention. An intervention. Could you make another alcoholic reference, Nancy, as we discuss? All right. Let's see. Kavanaugh acknowledges that he drank alcohol, but he claims he never blacked out. Okay, he never blacked out. I guess I assume he's qualified to be on the Supreme Court since he never blacked out from alcohol. He drank. And since the Supreme Court is full of liars and thieves and murderers, even if he had blacked out, would that really disqualify him from being on a panel of liars, thieves, and murderers in order to oversee further lies and thefts and murders? I think blacking out from alcohol would be the least of their concerns. But anyway, there we go. Nancy Pelosi makes two alcoholic references in her prayer for divine intervention. And references to Brett Kavanaugh, surprisingly, applied to Christine Blasey Ford here on Bob and Yart Live. Perhaps completely inappropriate. And I hope Bob's not listening, and I hope he doesn't get upset. I think he's in a plane right now. And he can't listen. But he'll probably review the tape. Meanwhile, there are other things happening in the world. There are other things. There's a earthquake and a tsunami in Indonesia. I had no idea how serious this was. But if you've listened to Bob Enyart Live, and specifically to Real Science Radio, you know that Bob has long called for the governments of the world to invest more money in studying earthquakes and predicting earthquakes and building early warning systems around earthquakes and the tsunamis and mudslides and all the horrible things that earthquakes cause. Because Bob and the folks at Real Science Radio understand that the Earth is relatively young and relatively unstable. In fact, terrifyingly so. If you were in Indonesia on Friday at 6 p.m. when a 7.5 magnitude earthquake hit. And the Meteorology and Geophysics Agency did issue a tsunami alert, but they were warning of waves up to 10 feet, and apparently waves up to 20 feet crashed into Palu. So the early warning system is being criticized, as well it should be, because the governments of, well, the governments in Australia, Indonesia, Japan, the United States, everyone who has invested in these sensors over there and all across the Pacific Ocean and the Ring of Fire and all that should realize that they simply haven't done enough and that the system needs improvement. And it's about time that perhaps we could find a use for the United Nations besides destroying civilization and promoting adultery and fornication. Perhaps the United Nations could convene a panel on earthquake prevention and diagnosis and warnings and all of that. That's what they need to do over at the UN. It would be a constructive effort on their part, and it certainly is needed. Actually, maybe the UN shouldn't do it. Perhaps we should, perhaps the United States needs to convene a, that's what, you know what? Jared Kushner could start doing that. doesn't have enough on his plate already. Maybe Jared Kushner. As soon as he finishes with the whole Middle East peace thing, he could move on to the earthquakes. Anyway, Palu in Indonesia was hit by 20-foot-high waves. The estimated death toll right now stands at about 1,200 people, and that is feared to escalate as local governing officials are reporting that as many as 2,000 people are missing after mudslides swamped the inland villages after the tsunami. And so the death toll could easily rise into the thousands and perhaps 10,000 or more. And meanwhile, to add insult to injury, government officials said that 1,200 inmates escaped from at least three prisons in the region, and so now they're on the loose, looting and robbing. Indonesia's been something of a hard luck case in the past 10 years or so, right? You know what's really sad is that Indonesia is the largest Islamic population on earth. And to see so many people so suddenly and without any warning dispatched into eternity, thinking that they were going to meet Allah, and lo and behold, when they got to the other side, Allah wasn't there, and Muhammad wasn't there. And instead, they found themselves face to face with the living God, the Father of Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And that's really sad to think that to be shaken into eternity at 6 p.m. on Friday evening, suddenly and without warning. But it's a lesson to all of us that life is fragile and precarious, and the state of human existence is basically tragic. And the older you get, the more tragic it becomes as you start to watch the people around you. They all start to die off. It's tragic. And we pray that that Indonesia could experience a Christian revival. Are you even allowed to preach the gospel in Indonesia? I have a feeling that it may be technically legal, but it's probably very dangerous to preach the gospel in Indonesia. Very sad. Very sad. Now let's move on, because as I said, there are other things happening besides Christy Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh in high school. There are other things happening. Although, if you listen to talk radio today, my guess is there will not be another subject covered at all. Was there any other subject covered at all on any talk radio show during the week last week? The shows that I surveyed last week, nothing. In fact, some shows that I normally listen to were interrupted by live coverage of the actual testimony, which would make you want to just rip your hair out. It was awful. The worst radio in the history of all radio was breaking in for live coverage of the inane, boring, tedious hearings in the Senate last week. Just unbelievable. And there were other things happening. How about the Nobel Prize in Medicine? Does that even get top? Can that even achieve billing with the Blasey Ford Kavanaugh scandal? The Nobel Prize for Medicine, I said. It's kind of a big deal, or at least it used to be. But we have a lot of other things. We have much more important things on our mind. Like who sits on the Supreme Court to administer injustice for the next 30 years? And did he black out in high school? All right. Now, let's go to the Nobel Prize Committee, where James Allison and Tasuku Honjo won the 2018 Nobel Prize for Medicine. The pair's research harnesses the body's immune system to attack cancer cells. And yes, you've heard about that here. You probably heard about it here, here, on Real Science Radio, which is sort of here. It's from the same studio. You probably heard about targeted antibodies and the amazing advances in immunotherapy that have been occurring over the last decade or so. You probably heard about it here first. And here's an update. These two professors have won the Nobel Prize for their research is known as immune checkpoint theory. Immune checkpoint theory. And other scientists say that it's revolutionized cancer treatment and has fundamentally changed the way we view how cancer can be managed. Allison is a professor at the University of Texas, MD Anderson Cancer Center. He studied a protein that functions as a brake on the immune system and how releasing the brake allowed immune cells to attack tumors. And the discovery has led to a number of effective treatments. Now, Mr. Hanjo, Tasuka Hanjo, he's a professor at Kyoto University in Japan, and he discovered a protein on immune cells that can also operate as a brake, a little bit of a different type of brake. And therapies based on his method for releasing this brake have also proven effective in actually fighting cancer. Now, we don't know if Mr. Hanjo or Mr. Allison ever blacked out while drinking beer in college. But it's just a matter of time before somebody asks. I think that really is the important question here. Besides the whole curing cancer thing, could we get on record if either one of these two has ever blacked out from drinking beer in college? I don't know why I'm just so sick of the whole thing, that's all. Just so ridiculous and ludicrous. Let's get back to cancer. By stimulating the ability of our immune system to attack tumor cells, this year's Nobel Prize laureates have established an entirely new principle for cancer therapy. This reminds me of an interview I heard on Real Science Radio. I believe it was in 2014, and I'm going to forget the scientist's name. But he talked about this, how he said the immune system cannot be defeated by cancer, which I had to rewind the MP3 and listen. What did he just say? The immune system cannot be defeated by any cancer? And then he clarified, you know, that the immune system, the human immune system, as designed by the living God, is so powerful that it could kill and destroy any cancer, but it has to actually stop itself. Because in doing so, it could kill the patient. And I tell people this story quite often in my professional life. And I think a lot of them think that I'm crazy and that I just make stuff up. But I tell them that scientists are actually researching and discovering ways to manage the brakes on the immune system. And as we learn to negotiate and manage the brakes, we're going to start curing cancer. And here's the Nobel Prize in Medicine this year that absolutely fundamentally establishes that everything that I heard on Real Science Radio 4 years ago is actually true. Not only is it actually true, it's actually happening. They've got effective cancer therapies that have been developed through this particular vein of research. But even the Nobel Prize Committee could not escape the shadow of the rampant immorality and corruption that is absorbing everything, every day, all the time. Because there was a French photographer who was nominated, in fact, was selected to win the 2018 Nobel Prize in Literature. He was to be named alongside James Allison and Tasuku Hanjo. They got the Nobel Prize in Medicine. He was supposed to be named today as the winner for the Nobel Prize in Literature, but instead he was in a Swedish court being sentenced to 2 years in prison for rape. So there you go. So that's it, see? This Christy Blasey Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. And all of the allegations surrounding all of this. If it were ever to be revealed, the amount of rampant corruption that infects everything And I was in high school in the early 1980s. And it was way worse than you people think. It was way worse than anything described by Christy Blasey Ford or Brett Kavanaugh. It was worse than some of the stuff people have even made up, is how bad it was. If my parents had ever known what was happening, they would have taken me out of school and locked me in my room. And I wish they would have. That's what I've done with my children. I've kept them out of the government schools, and I've locked them in a one-room schoolhouse in order to avoid the rampant amounts of corruption and debauchery and immorality that that are commonplace in our educational institutions. Well, back to the Nobel Prize. Jean-Claude Arnault should have won his Nobel Prize today. Instead, he was sentenced to rape. That's right. Now, meanwhile, let's go to the justice file before we run out of time, because on this show, time goes rather rapidly, if you haven't noticed. So I want to go to the justice file. I want to remind you all of the truck attack in New York City last year. Do we remember this? When a maniac drove a delivery truck up onto a bike path in New York City and he killed eight people. We barely remember it, right? Because there's been so many terrorist attacks. And so many people have been killed and so many horrible things have happened. And we can't seem to discuss anything except the allegations of, I don't know, at least one old drunk. I'll just leave that hanging out there. But there was a terrorist attack in New York City last week, and NBC reports from New York that a man charged with using a truck to kill eight people in New York City last year, is going to go to trial. I'm trying to remember when exactly this attack took place here. They don't say exactly, but it was last year. And now it's this year. And he still hasn't gone on trial, which that bothers me right there. That they're just announcing now that he's going to go on trial when the attack happened, well, at least 9 months ago, right? It was last year. But he's going to go on trial, and apparently, for some reason, October 31st, 2017. So almost a year ago since this guy drives a thank you to my producer there for helping me. Appreciate that. I'm not used to radio. Sometimes I need help. So about a year ago, this maniac drives the truck up onto the sidewalk, killing eight people. And then he's removed physically from the vehicle. And there's video of the whole thing. So it's not like we don't know exactly who did it. I mean, we know exactly who did it. In fact, he's already confessed and said that he was serving Allah and the Islamic State. But for whatever reason, he still hasn't gone on trial. And now it's been announced that his trial will begin October 7th, 2019. His trial is going to begin a little over a year from today. And he killed these people almost a year ago. Tell me the justice system isn't a complete disaster. Now, they are going to seek the death penalty, which at this point is laughable. He killed these people a year ago. You're going to put him on trial a year from now. And until then, you're going to wring your hands over whether or not we're going to seek the death penalty. Prosecutors say they intend to seek the death penalty at this point, if you care to take anything they say seriously. But the terrorist's defense attorney says he's very disappointed that the Justice Department has authorized the prosecutors to seek the death penalty. He's disappointed. Listen to this. Listen to what this lawyer has the gall to say. This is a lawyer for the terrorist who was a mighty warrior of Allah in the service of the Islamic State as he drove a truck on a rampage in New York and killed eight innocent Americans. This is his defense attorney. He says he's disappointed, and he says, quote, "We think the decision to seek the death penalty will only prolong the trauma of these events for everyone involved." So that strikes me as a veiled threat. It's a veiled threat to drag the families of the victims through all the gruesome details of that horrible day. Is that what this defense attorney is threatening? That he's going to force testimony of every gruesome detail of how the victim's family members were murdered by this terrorist? Is that this a defense attorney should be arrested for threatening average innocent people? Disgusting. Let's see what this is. The terrorist, after his arrest, the terrorist told authorities that he was inspired by ISIS videos. And he used the truck in the attack to inflict maximum damage against the infidels. And then, for whatever reason, inexplicably, he was allowed by authorities to plead not guilty. Wait a minute. Didn't you just tell us that you were inspired by ISIS and that you used the truck so that you could kill more people than maybe if you had used a car? How do you plea? Not guilty? How is that? How do you plead not guilty after that? Are we supposed to just suspend disbelief and act as if we phase shifted into an alternate universe where reality is optional and that we really can't know anything until the jury decides? I mean, the guy admitted it, for crying out loud. All right, and the trial is set to begin October 7, 2019, meaning that we need not take any of this seriously in any way. And the people who certainly need not take any of this seriously are terrorists and criminals and those who at this point right now today, October 1st, is that today's October 1st, 2018? Right now there are terrorists and murderers harboring in their hearts the desire to do harm and to hurt other people. And the one thing they need not fear is the American just system. And this case is exemplary of that. But we're thankful that Bob Enyart is on the air, even though I'm sitting in for him, because at least there is one show left in America that can talk about something other than whatever happened between these two old drunks in high school. I didn't mean to imply that any of them are drunks. I apologize. I think that was Nancy Pelosi who made the that was Nancy Pelosi's fault because she made the two alcoholic references in her prayer to her father, the devil, for divine intervention of some sort. That's her fault. I did not mean to imply that. But there is a show that still talks about justice and will remind anyone out there, a terrorist or a criminal, it doesn't matter that the justice system is feckless, because you will pay. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. And he executes justice and judgment and vengeance upon the evildoer and the murderer and the liar. So you don't have to fear the justice system here on earth. You can laugh and you can chuckle at it, but there shall be divine justice, and it shall be brought down upon the head of this terrorist and upon the governing officials who allowed him to plead guilty and upon the justice system that scheduled his trial for a year from now. And upon Nancy Pelosi, and upon whoever else is telling us all these lies to distract us while our government steals money from our grandchildren to fund abortions today. Pay attention, America, and do right and risk the consequences.